Hello, everyone. My name is Diana B. It's February the 22nd in the year 2020 and 1 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States. The Resource Development Committee of Debtors Anonymous is welcoming you to today's worldwide conference call on the theme of sponsorship and more specifically being a sponsor. Again, my name is Diana B. and I will be hosting the call today. A quick technology announcement. To minimize extraneous noise, since we are recording, please note that there will be a recording at the beginning of the call, and the recording will be shut off for the call-in shares at the end. Please use commands star 6 or asterisk 6 to mute, and again, star 6 or asterisk 6, again, to unmute yourself while on the call and while participating in the shares. Thank you. Okay, so let's open the call with a moment of silence followed by the Wii version of the Serenity Prayer.
God
grant us the serenity to accept the things that we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The mission of Debtors Anonymous Resource Development Committee is to create revenue for DA, including 1, increasing Seventh Tradition contributions and clarifying the use of the Seventh Tradition funds, 2, encouraging member participation in service at all levels, and 3, increasing awareness within the fellowship about the importance of self-support in DA and at group, intergroup, and world service levels. Our financial goal for the 2019-20 fiscal year is an increase of 20% in contributions over last year, or a total of individual and group contributions of $153,332.87. As of January 31st, the contributions have shown a dip compared with last year of $5,806, or 7.38%. However, the Resource Development Committee remains optimistic in the growth of the fellowship and the prosperity and abundance of our fellows. Now I'm going to introduce Barbara H. from Boston, that's going to take us through the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of DA. Thank you, Barbara.
Okay, so the 12 steps are, we admitted we were powerless over debt, that our lives had become unmanageable. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. We made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. We humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. We made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. We made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. We continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive debtors and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Barbara. Okay. And now the 12 traditions.
Okay.
Before the traditions, Diana.
Sorry. Yes?
My name's Mike. I'm a compulsive debtor. It sounds like someone has a TV in the background.
Okay. I'm going to hit star 5 to mute everyone, but then to unmute yourself, you're going to have to hit star 6. Okay. I'm going to hit star 5, and hopefully, Mike, that will solve this problem. Bear with me.
And if someone can just make sure that Rex is on the call and that he had the right call, the right number and all that.
Is that better? I think Barbara, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Perfect. If you could continue with the traditions, that would be fantastic.
Okay, good. Our common welfare should come first.
You could number them as well.
Oh.
That would be helpful. Sorry.
If I can do what?
Number them. Number one.
Okay. I'll do the prelude. The 12 traditions begin with the idea of DA unity, and it is this principle which is one of the surest guides to a proper attitude in service. The traditions help us to put into practice the principles we have learned from the steps and enable us to live in harmony with our fellows. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on DA unity. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. The only requirement for DA membership is a desire to stop incurring unsecured debt.
You didn't tell me she was a long ball shooter.
Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or DA as a whole. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the debtor who still suffers. Six, a DA group never endorse, finance, or lend the DA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every DA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions.
Hold on for a second, Barbara. Mike, did you want to say something?
I don't think the muting worked with Star 5, Diana. This is Maxie. I don't think the Star 5 worked this time because we're still hearing the background noises.
All right, I'm going to try it one more time, guys. Hold on briefly, Barbara. Thank you. Just take a beat.
And, Barbara, you might need to Star 6 yourself.
Can you hear
that
me?
That seems to have worked. That seems to have worked.
Yeah.
Okay. Barbara, are you there? Barbara, could you unmute yourself, please?
Okay, good.
Great. All right. Let's go further. Sorry about that, everyone. Technology.
Okay. Number 8. Debtors Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. DA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Debtors Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the DA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Barbara, and thank you all for being patient around the technology side of recording this call. So Mike L. from Dallas has generously volunteered to be our timekeeper today. Today's theme, just as a reiteration, is on sponsorship and on being a sponsor. Just as a quick intro, the importance of fellows helping each other in recovery has been the foundation of Alcoholics Anonymous from its birth, and sponsorship has become a primary tool in every 12-step program founded since. I'm now going to turn this call over to 4 speakers, which will include Maxie from Northern California, Rex from the Boston area, David from the Dallas, Texas area, and Morgan, also from the Northern California area. Each will speak for approximately 15 minutes on being a sponsor. Before each person speaks, I'm going to ask that they let Mike, the timekeeper, know what kind of warning they'd like in order to wrap things up. So first, on deck, thank you to Maxie for sharing her experience, strength, and hope on being a sponsor. Maxie, what would you like the timekeeper to give you as a warning?
Can you hear me, Mike and Diana? This
yes.
is Maxie. Oh, hi.
Yes.
I would love if you could let me know when 10 minutes is up and then when I have 2 minutes left, so at 10 and 13.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Maxie, and I am a debtor. And my first DA meeting was August 2007. It didn't start coming regularly till February 2008, so that's really what I consider my anniversary. I just went to a couple of meetings, and then I finally got serious with the program. I desperately needed it. I stopped using credit cards in September 2008, so like later the year that I got serious. And it took me a while to stop all the auto pays that I had set up on all my various credit cards. So I would say I stopped incurring unsecured debt in January 2009. And I took a real leap of faith in my higher power and actually closed up all of my credit cards in early 2009 and have not had a credit card since then. And my life is great without them. And, you know, everything's been fine without them. I did need to adjust my solvency date to September, I believe, 17th, 2017, due to things with my bank. I thought my overdraft would go to my savings, but apparently I wasn't clear or something was set up that I didn't know about. And when I overdrafted, it went to something called a line of credit, and for me that was unsecured debt. So that's my new solvency date, and I resolved that because I had the money in my savings, but it was just a lack of clarity. So that's my new solvency date. And I want to talk about sponsoring in DA because I believe that sponsoring in DA is easy, and I know a lot of people are afraid of being a sponsor, but in DA, in Debtors Anonymous, it's actually, I don't know, many of you might be in other programs and many of you might not, but in Debtors Anonymous, it's much easier because the load is shared. The sponsor works the steps with their sponsee, and the pressure relief group, or PRG, or pressure relief meeting, works a lot of the other stuff. So they take a lot of responsibility to work on people, your sponsee's finances, what we call the numbers, trying to get their life in the direction that they want it to be. So all of the work isn't on the sponsor in this program. So basically what my sponsor did with me, and that's what her sponsor did with her, is we meet for a half hour every week. My sponsor is far away from me, so we don't meet in person. We don't see each other anymore because she moved. But we still have a weekly call every Tuesday at 5 o'clock for a half hour. And I feel like that's very important to set up with my sponsees, to set up a weekly call. And I do have a sponsee that took a job that has varying shifts and varying schedules. So we, instead of doing a weekly set time, every time we talk, we set up next week's time. And sometimes we might have to skip a week, but we always have the next one scheduled. And I feel like that's very important because if I don't have a call scheduled with my sponsor, I will delay calling, and weeks and months might go by before I make that call. So for me, that's a very important tool being there for a sponsee. And also that weekly call keeps me working on my steps. I remember, like, you know, I'd be working on step four, and it would take a really long time because I was using a long format with lots of questions. But at least I would know that my call was coming on Tuesday. And even if it was a half hour before the call, I would pull over or stop what I was doing and at least get some work done. And so I was making weekly progress on my step work. Secondly, I believe it's important to sponsor at least two people because one person will, you know, make up for, you know, the person you're using as your sponsee, but another person will be available to a newcomer so that the fellowship can grow. There are a lot of people out there who are searching for a sponsor that are having difficulty finding one. So some people can do more, and some people do many sponsees, have many sponsees, but I personally feel it's important to commit to having two for myself, and I like to have at least two sponsees, and then quite often I will have a temporary sponsee, and some, perhaps I'm at a fellowship event and people are looking for sponsors and all agree to temporarily sponsor someone until they can find someone closer to them or and help get them through at least maybe the first three steps and getting a PRG set up and, you know, getting situated in the program, finding a good meeting and then help, you know, walking them through ways to find a sponsor, ideas on how to find a full-time sponsor. So two full-time sponsees and plus one temporary or more than two is what I feel is important. There's this question that a lot of us have, am I ready to be a sponsor? I don't feel ready. Well, I never felt ready to be a sponsor because I don't feel like I have all the answers. But truly, I don't think some of us will ever feel ready. But just my higher power helps me with being a sponsor. I don't have to be perfect. I want to be perfect, but I don't have to be. If I don't have an answer to something, I can say, you know, let's pray about this, or how about you pray about this? Maybe you can make outreach calls to other members of the program. If it's about a certain issue that I don't have experience with, maybe I know somebody at our home meeting that I can say, try calling this person or try calling that person. They might be able to give you some answers on that. So there are a lot of ways to get help. I can ask my sponsor if they have any ideas. Like I can say, well, I don't, you know, we don't have an answer on this. Let's think about it. Let's pray on it. Let me ask my sponsor if she has any idea. How about you ask, you know, make outreach calls to other people. Also, my sponsor, I feel like she's not perfect either, but she has been tremendously helpful in my life. I needed a sponsor so badly, and it took me months to find somebody who is willing to sponsor me. And I'm so grateful that she took on that responsibility. And she was kind of new in the program, so I was her first sponsee. And she is still my sponsor all these years later. I don't need her to be perfect either. I just need someone to be there for me, someone to help me through the steps, someone to have regular contact with and keep me on track in the program, because without her, I'm not gonna get things done. I'm not gonna get my step work done. I'll probably even flake out on going to meetings. So I believe that after doing your first three steps, you can be a temporary sponsee to someone and help them through the steps and help them find a sponsor. Find ways to have a sponsor, to help them set up their pressure relief group. Some people say you only need to be one step ahead of your sponsee. So I feel like it's not that hard in this program, and many people are afraid of it. But and also, if we're afraid, we can say, you know, I'm willing to be your sponsor for now. And let's say after 3 months, let's talk about it and see if it's working for both of us. Because maybe it is a bad fit. Maybe it doesn't feel good, and you can say, okay, you know, this doesn't feel great. This doesn't work well for me, and I'm here for you, but I'd like you to find another full-time sponsor, and you can be there for that person until then. Also, I wanted to touch on tools for sponsorship. Debtors Anonymous is in process of creating a step study guide, but it's not done yet, and it might not be done for a while because it takes a long time for literature to be done. It's all done by volunteers like us in the program who volunteer for that literature committee, so that's what helps it move along. But I had I would suggest using the format that your sponsor used with you, with your sponsees, or trying something new if you have access to new step study tools. There is the classic format of doing the steps in the AA, and you can use the big book for that. There is a step study guide that has been created by various intergroups, and I know the Los Angeles intergroup has a step study guide that's not conference approved, but they use that. You might be able to find things when asking other people for different ideas on how to do the steps and different step study guides until we come out
with
a formal one. 2 minutes? Thank you, Mike.
Hey, no, you used 10 minutes.
Oh,
so
I
used
10. Thank you, Mike. Okay.
You're welcome.
So that's good. I've had some sponsees, and I learned after a while that I needed to check with them and do kind of like a medical evaluation where they take your vital signs and they check your pulse and your temperature and your oxygen level and your respirations and your blood pressure. I feel like there are some vital signs for DA, and I try to check with my sponsees because I realize, like, sometimes, you know, we're just working on the steps together, and I don't realize that they're not really doing the rest of their program well. So I try to keep these thoughts in mind, and there are probably more that I'm not remembering, but check with them. Are you going to meetings regularly? Do you have a home meeting? Are you going every week? If not, when was the last meeting you went to? And if they haven't been going, put it on their calendar, like work with them to put on their calendar when are they going to their next meeting. If not in person, what phone meeting can they attend? Have them commit to a time, put it on their calendar. Also check with them about keeping numbers. They might not be doing it. They might not be recording their spending and earning and working with their PRG on that. Also, I make sure that they find a pressure relief group and schedule pressure relief meetings, that they, if they can, make it monthly, especially when you're newer, just set up a monthly time. If it's people like I do at my meeting, there are two people that are on my pressure relief group, and we meet after the meeting. We used to meet after the meeting once a month. Now one of my people can't do that anymore. So, because he's got a job commitment, so we now do a conference call, video conference call with WhatsApp, or you can use whatever thing for conference call or telephone conference call. And so we have a monthly time, and we make sure the next month is confirmed. And have your if your sponsee doesn't have a PRG set up, have them commit to setting up a PRG, trying to make it monthly, or if they don't have it monthly with those people, that they set up their next two PRG times with their PRG people, because maybe one might have to cancel because one of the three of you, but you'll at least have another one on the books. So always schedule two ahead. Also, I'd like to suggest asking your PRG person, I mean your sponsee, how are they doing with their action items from their pressure relief group? Are they making progress? What have they gotten done? What haven't they? Also, checking with them, are you incurring any unsecured debt? What is your solvency date? Maybe be clear with them on what unsecured debt is. For me, it's unsecured debt is anything that isn't backed up by collateral. Are you doing a service position at your meeting? Do you talk to newcomers who come in at your meeting?
2 minutes.
Thank you, Mike. I make a point to talk to newcomers, and I'd like my sponsees to do that too. It's really important that somebody reach out for them, and you don't get up after your meeting and just talk to the people you know. If there's someone new, just take a moment to go over, introduce yourself, see if they have a newcomer's packet, welcome them, maybe offer your phone number, and say we're looking forward to seeing you at the next meeting. Ask if they have any questions. And asking them if they are volunteering to be a sponsor, if they're raising their hand at their meeting, or you know, signing up on their if their meeting passes around a list of who's willing to be a sponsor, or if they are offering to be a temporary sponsor for someone if they're newer. And also just checking if they're praying and meditating regularly, and ask if they made an outreach call this week. So those are all what I consider like important vital signs to check on with your sponsee. So I hope I have been helpful. I'm looking forward to what everyone else has said. And just to share, being a sponsor has been very rewarding to me because I know it helps my sponsees. I know I'm not perfect, but I feel really good that I can be there for them, be there for the debtor who still suffers. Being in debt is a lot of people commit suicide over debt. It's really important to me that I'm there for people who really desperately need it, and that I know that that is spreading down, like that if I sponsor two people and my sponsees sponsor two people, I'm doing a lot of good in the world and a lot of good in my program. So I think I've covered everything that I want to share, and I'm looking forward to hearing other people's shares, and just encourage everyone to have faith in your higher power that you can be a sponsor. You don't have to be perfect. It is not that difficult, and it's a huge help to other people, and it's a very rewarding service to do. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your courage, strength, and hope, Maxie. That was, from my point of view, this is Diana, very inspirational. Rex, are you on the line? Star 6, if you happen to be muted. Rex, are you there?
Well, yes, I am. David, it took me a moment to get to the Star 6.
Ah, there you go. Oh, great. Thank you, Rex, for volunteering to be a speaker today. Rex comes to us from the Boston area to share his experience, strength, and hope on being a sponsor. Rex, would you like to tell the timekeeper any kind of warnings that you'd like in a 15-minute share?
There's not enough time for me to give them all the warnings about listening to me talk. So, how long would you like me to speak for?
15.
Approximately? 15
yep.
minutes? That's great. Then, Mike, if you could give me a 5 and a 1, that would be terrific.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you all. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Rex, and I am definitely a debtor. It's really an honor to be asked to be of service and to talk about one of my two favorite subjects, NDA. I was fortunate to be able to speak earlier this morning at my meeting regarding Step 11, and sponsorship is one of my other favorite topics. I have the great good fortune to have a sponsor and to be a sponsor. And it started for me in 2011. I was in London having taken a job on short notice because I absolutely had to take, being based out of Boston, I absolutely had to take any job that was offered because I had lost a job and the relationship with, at that time, the love of my life was really in trouble. And I took the job and got over to London, and as some of you may know from past experience, there are no such things as geographic solutions. Going to London didn't make a blessed thing any better. It didn't help me solve the financial dilemmas that I was in. And the relationship crashed, and I sent out notices to people. I had just started in DA maybe 3 or 4 months earlier, choosing to do only those things that felt good for me and not choosing to accept the program fully. And now I was desperate. I called everybody I knew. I called and texted folks. And I got an email back from someone close to me who said, I probably shouldn't use the gentleman's name, but it said, we'll just pretend his name was John. It said, call John in a phone number. That was all there was, and I was in London. And it was, I think, 10 o'clock at night, and I still dialed that number. And this deep, rich, sonorous voice answered the phone, and I told him who I was and who had recommended me. He said, yeah, I was expecting your call. And he listened to me cry, yell, feel sorry for myself, describe my situation, describe that it was all about money, and if I just had more money, that would fix the problem. and went through it all for about a half an hour, and he asked me some questions, including about my family background and otherwise. And then said, okay, well, there were some things I'm going to want you to do. And I stopped and said, wait a minute. And with tears in my eyes, I said, does that mean you're going to be my sponsor? And he just chuckled. There was this, just this deep, rich, warm, small laughter that came through. And he said, well, let's just get you started. But for now, let's just get you to a meeting. And that relationship began in 2011. The gentleman lives in California. I've met him four times since 2011 in person, including to do my fifth step. But this is a man that I speak to a minimum of 4 days a week. Once in a while, I do forget to make a call, and I try and respect his time. But otherwise, I'm to call him at 5 p.m. East Coast time, plus or minus, Monday through Friday. Weekends, unless I need him, I leave the weekend so he's free, and that's worked very, very well for us. The blessings that I have received from that relationship, the guidance I have received, the friendship I've received, the love that I've received from that relationship was something that I never expected. Because of my upbringing, because of my relationship with my father, I had never trusted men. Even friends of mine, I would only let get so close to me before I pushed them away or found fault with them throughout my life. And I'm 69 years old, for those who would care to know. So I lived without DA. I lived without any kind of a program for basically 60 years of my life. And to talk to someone honestly was a huge challenge. To talk to a man, honestly, was almost an impossible challenge. But I was so desperate to save this relationship, which did not get saved, that I was willing to do anything he said to do. And I called every day, and I raced home in some cases to get home in time to call him at the right time. And then I moved back to the States, and the 10 p.m. call became a 5 p.m. call. And I would be at work, and it might be awkward, but I found a way to call. And over those years, a kinship with this man has developed unlike any I had ever experienced before in my life. And unbeknownst to me, what was being created was the relationship that I'd always wanted all my life. Just to be accepted as I am, to be loved. One of the funny stories for me was probably 6 months into our relationship. At the end of a call, this big, fun, wonderful, and loving voice, as we're signing off, said, I love you, I love you, I love you, Rex. Just remember that. You have a good night now. And I was stunned. I felt so awkward. I didn't know what to say. And I went, yeah, you too, or some words to that effect. It probably took me 3 months before I ventured the courage to say, have a good night. I love you. And when I said it, there was that chuckle again, that same chuckle from the very first time I'd ever talked to him, where he said, yeah, he said, I could hear his mind going, yeah, I got you. I got you. This person is my sponsor to this day and has also become one of my dearest friends. We talk about sports because at 80 years old, he's still a sports fan. And I tell him that I still allow him to be my sponsor, even though he's on the West Coast and he doesn't like the New England Patriots or the Boston Celtics or the Boston Red Sox. And we talk about sports, and we talk about jobs, and we talk about friendship, and we talk about DA, and we talk about my numbers. We talk about my relationship with my wife, and monetarily, how to handle that, how to work with it, and almost any other blooming thing that comes up in the world. Because as many of you know that are on this call, our relationship with money touches every other relationship we're in, especially when that relationship, well, not especially, it touches it when it's bad, and it enhances every relationship we have when we're right with our money, when we're right with our relationship with our money. And that's the story of my sponsor, my first sponsor. I had somebody come up maybe a year later and ask me to sponsor them. And I said, let me call my sponsor and get back to you. And I think at the time I was probably on my fifth step. And it was interesting because when I asked him about it, he said two things. He said, first of all, never say no if someone asks you to sponsor. It's my guidance. Never say no. That doesn't mean you have to sponsor them, but never say no to someone. At the very least, you can always help them get started until they're able to find somebody who has more time available. And I've kept that with me, and I've passed that to my sponsees along the way. He also told me that in my view, Rex, my guidance and understanding of the program is that you can sponsor up to and including the step that you're on, but you probably don't want to sponsor people into steps beyond where you are so you can bring them along with you. And I thought that was interesting because in my background, I have a strong martial arts background for many, many years. And as I grew up in Weichiru Karate, I was told that I could teach and should sponsor anyone coming into the program up to whatever level of belt I had attained. And over time, I attained advanced black belt degrees. Pardon me for coughing. But during that time growing up, or bringing myself up in that sport, which I didn't start until I was 40, was the same advice I was given in DA, which was basically share your experience, share your strength, share your hope, and share your fears. And it didn't matter whether it was in the dojo learning to fight someone or defend against someone, or whether it was in DA learning to fight against our fears, our guilt, our shame, our confusion in our relationship with money.
5 minutes.
Thank you, Mike. So I went back to the person who asked me and said, thank you so much for asking me to share in your recovery. I would like to. I explained that I would be a step sponsor, the same as my sponsor was to me, that it was important for me to pass on what had been so freely given to me. And we talked, and it was suggested by my sponsor that I try and be clear with my sponsees as to what was expected of them. That there wasn't a timeline that they had to adhere to for working the steps, but they did have to work the steps. That if it took them a year to do step one, that was fine, as long as they worked it. That if there were times when they felt they had to pull back and they couldn't deal with it, I simply needed the honesty from them to let me know that they'd be safe in telling me that, and we'd figure out how we worked with that. So I let my sponsees know that there's a time each day, Monday through Friday, I follow up my sponsor work with me, that there's a time each day I'd like them to call. I'm also very clear with all of my sponsees, and I'm in two programs with sponsees in each. Excuse me. Sorry for coughing in everybody's ear. Getting over a cold. That my sponsees could contact me between 8 a.m. and 7 p.m. That after 7 p.m. they could send me emails or texts, and that would be fine. But that time was the time for me, for my wife, for my family. And it was important that I have a healthy home life. If I were to be able to be of help to them, I had to take care of myself as well. I let them know if there was ever an emergency that they should call. Didn't matter what time of day or night. And I would get back to them as quick as I possibly could. But for day-to-day and the problems that we encounter and the challenges that we have, that I asked them to respect the timeline that allowed me to respect my home life and my wife's time and my family's time. That's worked very well for me. I've never had a challenge with that. There's never been a sponsee who's had difficulty with that. That was important for me because, as probably many of the people on the line know, at many of the meetings, they'll say, well, anyone you hear that is available to sponsor or do PRGs, please raise your hand. And if there's 30 people in the room, 2.5 hands go up. And if they just ask about sponsoring, very seldom no hands go up. And it's because those who express their willingness usually end up with 2 or 3 people at the end of the meeting asking to be their sponsor. And there's only so much time in a day and so much of us we can give. I was taught that we give from our excess, not from our core, that our core needs to take care of our sanity so that we can then lend our strength, our hope, our experience to others. So for those who do sponsor, I would strongly, my suggestion would be to look at your life and how you live it and make sure you have protection in place so that we don't get resentful because our sponsees call. It's human nature. There's always going to be a time where someone calls and we look at the phone and go, oh, crap. And then we answer it anyway. But if we can establish guidelines that are open and honest with our sponsees and with ourselves, I think it lends itself highly to that. One other thing. Thank you very much, Mike. One thing I'd like to address in the final minute is our program is taken lovingly from AA. And when you read the big book, and when you talk to old-timers, and if you ever go to an open AA meeting, a pretty recent bill, when somebody new walked in, 5 people walked up to them and asked them if they had a sponsor. Now, there might have been bigger meetings. There might have been more people. I don't know what the reasons are or otherwise, but in DA, that seems not to occur. And we place it upon the new person coming in to have the courage and the strength to come up and talk to us instead of us going to them and saying, you need a sponsor. And I am a strong proponent of those of us who can sponsor being much more proactive to help the newcomer. If you're a newcomer on this call and listening, or if you don't have a sponsor and you're listening, I was also taught something that was very helpful, that when you ask someone, ask them if they have time in their calendar to considering sponsoring another person. Instead of asking, will you sponsor me, which is a yes or no answer and fears rejection, ask in a way that allows somebody to say, could you check your calendar and get back to me at the next meeting? Ask in a way that allows the other person to think about it, and neither of you is on the spot. And I think the result will be far more pleasant. I want to thank you all for allowing me to be of service and allowing me to continue to heal in DA. Thank you.
Thank you, Rex.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Rex, for sharing your experiences and help both as a sponsor and being a sponsor. It's very moving. Is David L. on the line?
David Ann.
Star 6 yourself to be unmuted if you are.
Hi, this is David Dallas.
Hi, David. How are you today? Thank you so
Doing
much
well.
For joining us and volunteering to be a speaker today. The shares are 15 minutes long of being a sponsor, and why don't you let Mike know if you need any kind of time warnings.
Yeah, it'd be great. Mike, if I could get, let me know after 10 minutes and after 13 minutes, that would be great.
Very good.
Okay, so good afternoon. My name is David in Dallas. I'm a grateful member of this program. My solvency date is September the 2nd of 1992. That means that I've had a chance to have been in this program for a very long time and to make every single mistake a person could possibly make in the debtor's anonymous program over and over and over. And I say that to remind me of my own humility. The time in the program does not equate to recovery. The amount of recovery a person has, because it's not a linear relationship. But one of the things that I have done right over all these years is sponsorship. What's interesting for me is I got my first temporary sponsor back in 1992. I've been in the program maybe 6-8 weeks, and someone agreed to be my temporary sponsor. In the time that I've been in the program, I actually had to write this down, I had a total of 7 sponsors, and that's been interesting. Some of them be attrition, a couple of them I had to fire, and that's okay. What I think of the sponsee-sponsor relationship, is it to me, it is a sacrosanct relationship. Specifically, it's one that it's a person that I can go to no matter what I've done, what mistake or error, how I think I might have screwed up or hurt another human being, and I'm not judged by that individual. And what's interesting is I ended up growing up in a very affluent home where education was prized. And strangely enough, if I look at the sponsors that I've had, three of them were attorneys, one PhD, and another was a doctor. So the irony for me, and one of the things showing me that God has a sense of humor, is that it's a reminder for me that this program has nothing to do with education or intelligence or how smart a person is. Because as somebody said earlier, one of the speakers, it's about a compulsive disease. For me, getting a sponsor was not a hard thing to do because I knew someone in the program early on in 92 who had been in some other self-help fellowships with me. So we had that commonality of background. And what a sponsor has done for me is not so much helped me work the steps, believe it or not, but helped keep me sane. And today, when I reached out to my sponsor, I've had the same sponsor now for the last 21 years or so. So we've been together a long time. And when I call him up, I usually am not calling up with what I call, a puking all over myself situation. It's not like, oh, God, you're never going to believe what happened. This is what happened. I don't know what to do. Because for the last, I can't even, maybe 20 years, when I call up my sponsor, it's like, hey, this is the situation, and this is the solution that I came up with. Tell me your thoughts. What's your ESH on this? So it's much more, because today, and I think given the time in the program, the amount of work that I've done, and the amount of financial challenges and situations that I've not only personally faced, but I mean I've had over, because my sponsor, actually, he knew I was speaking at this meeting today. Again, thank you so much to Mike in Dallas tasking me to be of service. I do love being of service. Because as an addict, the sweetest, most kindest sound that I can think of is my own voice. And what that tells me is there's an ego here. And that ego can either get me in trouble or knowing that I have an ego, I have the capability of knowing when it's out of control or when it's in check. So it is important for me to kind of figure that piece out. And so my sponsor was asking me, so, well, how many pressure relief meetings have you had? And because I work the other money program, there's a form of a PRG that they do that sort of, we kind of do a combo style between the two of them now. And as a result of that, I had to guess, 125, 150 PRG meetings. How many PRGs have I participated in? I stopped counting at 1,200. So I think I'm up to 1,400 or 1,500. So I've seen just about every financial situation that I think can be seen. Again, I might be surprised, but hey, nothing wrong with that. But for me, my job as a sponsor is either to take somebody through the steps who hasn't worked the steps, even though I like to kind of send them back to basics, because to me it's kind of turbo recovery. My job is to share my experience, strength, and hope, which by the grace of this program, I have a lot of, and to never share my opinion. And I've had sponsees that have come up to me and asked me, well, what's your opinion on this? And I say, my answer is the same every time. You don't want my opinion because my opinion is what got me in these rooms. My opinion has no value whatsoever as far as experience, strength, and hope goes. Yeah, I got a little bit of that. And that's really what it means to me to be a sponsor, and that is to share, to listen to someone, and then to allow words to come out of my mouth that I believe is God-inspired. Because oftentimes I'll share something with a sponsor and they'll go, what did you just say? And it's hard for me to recall sometimes because I feel like my higher power is coming through me, so I don't necessarily know what I said. But obviously it had a profound enough impact that they had a problem or a challenge hearing it from a contextual standpoint. And that's okay. I know that my current sponsor, when I wanted to get him, I'd ask someone who has, 527 years. She has 28 years or, 29 years in the program. I said, hey, I just kind of let my sponsor go. I need to get a new sponsor. I'm looking for a real big book, pounding Nazi. That's what I wanted. Someone really in your face, confrontive, because I think that's what I need. And she goes, oh, you should ask, and I'll make up a name. You should ask John M. And I went, no, man, he's too milquetoast. He's too gentle for me. I want a real big book thumper. He goes, oh, okay, in that case, ask John M. And I was like, no, you're not hearing what I'm saying. I need someone who's going to be really tough. And she goes, oh, I've got the perfect guy. Ask John. And finally, you know, after hearing her say it three times, it pierced the denial, and I went, okay, I'll ask John to be my sponsor. And I was blessed when he accepted, because what he taught me was something called unconditional love. He taught me to listen without judgment. He taught me that I am not a mistake, that God did not make a mistake when my parents conceived me, because I believe that going into this program. And, you know, I haven't done any really terrible shit since he started sponsoring me. And I've done some things I'm not exactly proud of, but I never felt judged by him. And that's why I said earlier, I consider it to be a sacred relationship. In certain ways, even above the relationship with my spouse. Because I'm not going to be judged in what I say or my thoughts. And today, it's kind of a fun relationship. And the reason I say it's fun is because I'm coming to him with really good, with good questions and with good thoughts. And they are, you know, it talks about in the big book, you know, after going through the, you know, the nine-step promises, that intuitive thought, that inspiration, that it's God-generated. And so when I'm coming to him and saying, hey, here's a situation, this is how I want to handle it, what do you think? And he goes, I like it. Have you considered such and such? And I said, I hadn't thought of it from that aspect, but let me consider it. And then I begin to implement it. You know, one of the things that people were talking about was the frequency with which they talked to their sponsors. I never really considered that because we never had a formal time frame or arrangement that we set up. For me, he just said to me, and as I say to my sponsors now, call whenever you need to, whatever that might be. And what I do is I do a daily action list that came out of the BDA program back in 2004, where I do a daily action list of the things I'm going to be responsible for accomplishing both personally and professionally. And that goes to my sponsor. It goes to my spouse. It goes to my action partner. And then it goes to the other person on my PRG team. And I do use my sponsor on my PRG team as well. And so my sponsor gets that daily action list. He gets one usually the night before. Like if it's a Thursday night, he's going to get Thursday. It's going to be completed. And then I'll get Fridays. And he typically will make a comment or two. It's like, wow, you know, really effective day. Good job, David. Or, hey, I noticed, you know, that you were supposed to do X, Y, Z, and you haven't done it for the last 3 days. Is something going on with that? Is that an action that we need to talk about or bookend? And that's prominent. So I am in my communication with my sponsor, every day via email, via an email or a text. Sometimes he also have an iPhone, so it's real easy for me to leave iMessages for him, which I like to do a couple times a week, and then we talk maybe once a week, and I have the opportunity to see him at my Saturday home group. I also moved away from Dallas 22 years ago, so for 22 years, we lived in different cities. And it's wonderful to be back in the same city as him and to be able to see him on a regular basis. And I know that for me, the real treat is, you know, if he comes in and sits down beside me when it's time to do the serenity prayer at the end of the meeting, I get to stand up, I get to bow my head and hold my sponsor's hand and say the serenity prayer, which I am eternally grateful to God that I have that opportunity in my life today. Because for that's, many, many years...
That's been 10 minutes.
Great. Thank you so much.
10.
I appreciate that. Perfect. So, you know, I'm grateful for that because to me, I lived and died on telephone meetings for a very long time. And one of the reasons for that is I've lived on three continents and four countries, and some of the places I lived, there were no Debtors Anonymous meetings. What other ESH can I share about being a sponsor or being a sponsee? I don't know how many sponsees. Actually, my sponsor asked me this morning, how many people have I sponsored over the years? I think maybe, 12, 13. I have two current sponsees. I've had a lot of people come up to me, especially when I was in face-to-face meetings, come say, hey, would you sponsor me? And here's my standard, here's my standard reaction. Here's how I handle this. I say, okay, I'd be willing to sponsor you, but I need to know if you're interested in recovery or if you're interested in relief. And they look at me and go, what's the difference? I said, relief is working the tools. Recovery is working the steps. And if they go, well, you know, right now I think I'm just interested in working the tools. I go, great. I'm not going to sponsor you in that case, but feel free to call me, and if I'm available, I'm happy to talk. Because for me, unless a person wants recovery, I'm not going to work with them. That, to me, is the bottom line. There may be other people that are, but I'm not. Because what I know is I can get financially solvent by working the tools, but I can only get emotionally solvent by working the steps. And in that way, I am kind of a big book Nazi. Because that's my experience, Strength and Hope, having been in this program 27 years and having done and seen and been a lot throughout the program. I know I got a couple more minutes, Mike, but that's really the crux of my share. And I think I will go ahead and with that, practice humility and pass.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David. Thank you for joining us today, and thank you for your wisdom, your strength and hope, and your experience over such a tremendous arc of time. Thank you for joining us. Is Mort Gann on the line? Star 6, if you need to unmute yourself.
Good morning. This is Mort Gann. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. I'd like to introduce
you
to Mort Gann, who comes to us from my brain just stopped working, the Northern California area, and here to share her experience, strength, and hope on being a sponsor. Mort Gann, why don't you let Mike know if you'd like any warnings or heads up with respect to time.
Sure. Thank you so much. Mike, if you could give me 10 and 1. I'm not sure I'll go the whole 15, but we'll see how that goes.
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Well, hi, everyone. I'm Mort Gann, and I'm a debtor. And I want to start with a serenity prayer, which is how I always start all my conversations with my sponsees. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you so much. I need to do that. Sometimes I need to do serenity prayer multiple times an hour. It's one of my favorite tools. I try never to talk to a program person, whether it's a sponsee or a fellow, without the serenity prayer at some point in the conversation. And I feel that the best I could be in program is when I make that little shift to my higher power. And I've been coming to DA program face-to-face and phone meetings since the early 1990s. And I am in Northern California. My last unsecured debt was a student loan that I signed for my older daughter in August of 2005. So I've been... I have not incurred any new unsecured debt since that point, for which I'm grateful. And as a sponsor, what I want to really be sure with myself, kind of as a, like a personal little check-in with myself, is that, you know, I'm not debting, and I'm doing my program to the best of my ability. I'm staying in touch with my sponsor. I'm available to my sponsees, but I'm also... I have boundaries around that, which I'll check in about in a minute. And then, again, sticking with a spiritual connection within that relationship with my sponsees, and also sticking with DA literature and AA literature. I do have a set time once a week to speak with my sponsor, and I said also a set time to speak with my sponsees. That doesn't mean that they can't connect with me in between those times, but what I need, because not only am I a money debtor, but I'm a crazy time person, and I just need to have some structure and agreement, and I'm very big on using a timer. That helps me a lot. Even if I'm getting a general program call or, you know, I like to say, yes, I have 5 minutes. If it's okay with you, I'm going to set a timer. Because it's easy for me to get a little overwhelmed in conversation, get a little overwhelmed with my connection with my great, great thoughts and whatever. That could kind of go on and on. So if I have a timer that I'm working with, it just allows me to say, okay, God, let's get this, you know, like let's talk and be saying what we need to say in that time period. So I also want to mention that with my sponsees and I and all people in program, I hold the tool of anonymity super high, and I don't say to people who my sponsor is, and I don't hear, you know, my sponsee saying who their sponsor is, and I actually prefer if other people don't tell me who their sponsor is. So I just wanted to name that because it's important for me just to continue to practice anonymity over and over again, however I can. The other thing that helps me when I'm speaking with my sponsors is to have some structure. And when I'm saying that again because it helps me to, because I can be kind of all over the place. It's the nature of my brain and my enthusiasm for life, let's say. Every session, I want to be sure that we cover the Serenity Prayer. Obviously, we say the Serenity Prayer, and that we have some check-in. You know, like how's your life? How's your money? Did you have a PRG? How are your sponsees doing? Those kinds of things. I do have assignments. Again, I'm working with sponsees on their steps. And I appreciate the previous speaker's question about relief versus recovery, because I do think my nature is I could talk to people all day long, and I could like be their sponsor and like give advice all day long, but I don't do that anymore. Like that is not what I'm doing. We're gonna have a check-in. I want you to do your readings from the assignment, whatever step you're on, and then if you have questions of me and you are looking for some experience, strength, and hope around what you're looking for or thinking about today, or if you have a dilemma or something. And then I might also offer, if I feel an urge to say something based on either something they've written or something that's going on in their lives, I offer, you know, would you like my experience, strength, and hope on that? So that if there's not actually a question, that I could offer up an idea. And a lot of times as well within our call, someone might, you know, ask how I'm doing. And I feel like that's always a nice gift for me, but I also know that every time we share, you know, where we're at in our recovery with anyone, whether it's a meeting or a sponsee, that, you know, it's just significant because we're all on this journey, right? And we all have different struggles and different celebrations in our day-to-day lives and as we walk through the world and our relationship with God. So, you know, it's nice to have a chance to also check in if there's time or if there's a question to offer that. Sponsorship, I think, is a very important tool. And I just want to name that my current sponsor, you know, I can't remember. At some point last year, she said, you know, when you sponsor somebody, you know, it's like it adds so much to your program. And it's just, I can't remember exactly the words that she said, but what, it kind of like busted through a certain amount of resistance that I was holding around sponsoring and feeling like it was too much and feeling like I didn't have time and how would I help people? And, you know, I just had all this chatter, evaluation. And so when I made that shift, when she said that to me and I started thinking, wow, you know, and that I could pray for the right sponsees, you know, not that I'm evaluating, but if someone comes into my awareness or is looking for a sponsor, that I just have a willingness and that, you know, that actually higher power is involved in creating these relationships and that I just need to, this is how I interpreted it. That one little sentence that she said made me realize that just like who's on my PRG, for, you know, who I'm, you know, who's available to talk at a meeting, or who's sitting next to me at a meeting, or, you know, there's a way that it's all part of a bigger plan than my little brain. So if I'm at somewhere and someone's looking for a sponsor, who am I to say, oh, I'm not available, or, oh, I'm not qualified, or, oh, I'm, you know, that's like my little chatter. So I'm trying to turn all that over and be, and I have actually successfully done that in the last year. My willingness to be of service, my willingness to be helping people is much, much higher. And it's a beautiful thing, because the truth is, all my sponsors are amazingly enriching. They're not draining me. That used to be my fear. I'd be drained. No, I'm actually completely enriched and fulfilled by those relationships. And so I just, you know, I mean, I'm not in this to do it perfectly, but I do feel like just having that willingness to step forward, and I want to encourage people, you know, to say yes to sponsoring, and say yes to being of service in that way, and being a servant of higher power in that way, that is part of what we're about. So I did want to speak just briefly about my kind of my assignments. So I asked everyone to get DA literature and a big book. So because when you're working step one, I want you to read step one in the big book, step one in the 12x12x12, I want you to read the DA pamphlet. And then from that, you do your writing and reflection. And then I also ask people to get all the pamphlets, because as they're going through the steps, reading those materials, that they're also familiar with all the DA literature. I know this kind of sounds a little hardcore, but it's super interesting and helpful, because when else are we going to be guided to be learning about the literature? And then as we're working with newcomers who come through, or other people, you know, fellows that are sitting around us, you know, we can offer, because it's something that's such an amazing tool, and that so much thought has been given to the literature, like the pamphlets, for example, that if you have a familiarity and you're
5 minutes.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. The more I've sunk into DA and AA literature as relates to sponsoring, the more my answers and my center in program, and as I'm talking to people, is through literature. So if you're talking to someone who's having an under-earning issue, let's say they're having some issue, and you're like, oh, they might benefit from reading the under-earning pamphlet, right? You're allowing someone to have a little bit of knowledge so that they could help guide the next person towards DA literature that would be of help. So I just wanted to say that. And let's see what else. I'm just very grateful. I had looking in step 12 in the big book. What I wanted to just say that to watch the page 89, to watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow about you, to have a host of friends, this is an experience you must not miss. And I think that's partly what you get when you're sponsoring. Again, in the big book, page 90, if you get an idea of the behavior, the problem, the background, the seriousness of the condition, religious leanings, you know, there's some kind of basic things that you'll gather around your sponsor and your sponsee, the relationship that you have. So I think that just remembering that, you know, we're all human, and that we have ways of, you know, showing up and being clear and being vague. And I think as a sponsor and a sponsee, it's trying to show up with, like, that awareness of, like, where am I being vague, and where am I, you know, on my program, and where am I flipping this week, you know, kind of thing. So it's sort of that that opportunity that we have to be together and to make our fellowship stronger because of our recovery, and making it available to other people as well. So I'm trying to think if there was something else I wanted to say, but I know that there's potentially a lot of people going to be tuning into this call. And I just want to encourage everyone, you know, to do what it takes in your recovery, because this is where I'm at. I'm doing everything I can within my recovery so that I could serve others as a sponsor. Because if I could serve others as a sponsor and bring them a little bit along the steps, you know, like step one, two, three, and then they, after three, I say to my sponsors, really, sponsees, let's think about, you know, sponsoring the newcomer. So as was spoken a little earlier, if we can continue to cultivate people working the steps so that they could sponsor other people, then the recovery is going to grow and there's going to be, you know, more and more people who can sponsor, right? So I think just a little willingness, even if it's, you know, opening your heart to be a little bit willing, if you don't feel like, okay, I'm totally fully willing to sponsor somebody, just try to find it to have a prayer, ask God about it, you know, maybe just include it in your daily meditation about when, or is this the person, or is this the time, am I the person? But keep moving that along so you get to the yes, so that you are sponsoring and getting all the benefit from that. And thank you so much. So, I'm going to sign off. And I appreciate the opportunity to share this morning. And thank you to DA, and thank you to everyone on the call. And, yeah, thank you so much. All right. Bye now.
Thank you, Morgan. And thank you for all of the speakers today so far. We had Maxie, Rex, David, and Morgan sharing on being a sponsor in DA. And before we go to shares, we're going to take a quick seventh tradition break. So just every DA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. And contributions to the fellowship for this call can be made by sending a check payable to the DA GSB and mailed to Debtors Anonymous, P.O. Box 920888, that's 920888 in Needham, Massachusetts, the zip code 02492. And you can also go onto the debtorsanonymous.com website, which is spelled out, debtorsanonymous.com, and make a contribution using a U.S. bank debit card. And there'll be other instructions on there as well as for other electronic payments if you are so moved to contribute that way. So, again, thank you to the speakers. And at this time, I'm going to turn off the tape recording of the call and open up the meeting to your questions and personal shares. So hold on one moment and allow me to turn off the recording device.
Diana, can you hear me?
I'm not so sure that the recording stopped. Are you able to do that, perhaps, Maxie?
Diana, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay. Just one, before we stop the recording, can we correct the email is debtorsanonymous.org and not .com?
Oh, I'm sorry, debtorsanonymous. Yeah. Did I say com? I'm sorry, yeah. debtorsanonymous.org spelled out. Forgive
Thank
me.
Very much.
Thank
and I will try to unmute. I'll try to press star 9 and 1.